Izzy hits the deck next to Steed, ignoring the pain that shoots up his leg and into his hip as he grabs Steed by the shoulders, checking him over for injuries as the fighting dies out all around them. The merchant vessels, out-of-time Renaissance fair wannabes, laying down their weapons as the tide turns in favor of the revenge. As Izzy desperately tries to assess whether any of the blood staining Steed's delicate blue coat is Steed's,
this week's appetizer is sure to give you ASMR vibes, thanks to Tessa's very tingle-inducing vocals. Ready for Anything by Unopposable Thumbs is an E rating and is tagged, among other things, Izzy Hands Loves His Husbands. They are covered in blood, Your Honor, They're Idiots, and Porn with a Skiffle of Plot. The summary reads, a few months after Izzy, Steed, and Ed get married, they're back on the revenge, ready for their first raid as married men. Izzy thinks he's ready for anything that might go wrong when they board the merchant ship. It turns out he may need to revise his definition of anything. By the way, if you'd like to narrate anything for the Our Flag Means Fanfiction podcast, do that. There really are no rules, no rating or content limitations. Whatever you decide to devote your time to, I'll put it here on the pod. Just get the author's permission first, then email your audio file to ourflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. Also, if you want to show the world that there's still an audience for Our Flag-related content, give this podcast a rating and, if you feel like it, no pressure, a review. It makes a difference. We're also working on ways to get you, the viewers, the listeners, I should say, more involved in the show. For the last few episodes, the co-hosts have been sharing what's the most gay pirate thing to happen to you this week. Well, we want to hear from you, the audience. What's the most gay pirate thing that has happened to you recently? You can either send us an email, or if you want to record an audio file, you can email that to us as well at the old ourflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com, and we'll play it on our next episode. Let us know if you want to stay anonymous or have us share your name and city. Either is fine. And what qualifies as a gay pirate thing? Guys, this isn't school. There's no right or wrong answer. If you have a hilarious or interesting story to tell, I don't care if it's on topic or not. We want to hear it. This is a judgment-free, high encouragement zone. And for memes and Our Flag-related hilarity, follow the podcast on Instagram at Our Flag Means Fanfiction, all one word. Without further ado, here is Ready for Anything by Unopposable Thumbs, read by Tessa.
This is Ready for Anything by Unopposable Thumbs. Izzy expects a few hiccups. He's ready as the Revenge draws up to the broadside of a fat merchant ship, sitting low in the water with whatever cargo she carries. He watches Ed and Steed from the corner of his eye. Steed gives a happy little spin, showing off his new battle jacket as Ed laughs indulgently. It spins impressively, and Izzy makes a mental note to stick near Steed during the raid. Beautiful as it is, he has a feeling the sky-blue silk might not be the most practical garment for their purposes. But if there's anything he's learned in the past few months, as he recuperated in the inn where the three of them were laying low, it's that Steed is not particularly concerned with practicality. Not that Izzy's complaining. If it weren't for that man's complete refusal to accept the realities of any given situation, Izzy suspects they'd never have gotten here. The first time Bonnet kissed him, well, to say Izzy didn't take it well would be a bit of an understatement. By the time Ed managed to separate them, Izzy had given Steed a few choice words about his character and his personal appearance, and a bloody nose on top of it. Well, Iz, Ed had said slowly, actually, we've both been meaning to talk to you for a while now. Steed, nose still bleeding, had sounded even more absurd than usual as he spoke through the handkerchief he was holding to his face.
We were thinking, Israel, he'd said,
and damned if Steed saying his full name, even sounding like a fucking gerbil with a head cold, wasn't enough to curl Izzy's fucking toes.
What if, instead of the two of us, me and Ed, that is, It was the three of us. You and me and Ed all together.
Izzy'd stammered, looking from one man to the other. What? That... You can't... You and Ed are fucking married, Steed. You can't have a fucking marriage with three people in it. He'd managed to choke out, feeling as though the floor of the inn had fallen out from under him. And then Steed had just smiled. Yes, but why, darling? And what if it weren't like that? Audacious bastard. Impractical. A fucking dreamer. Ridiculous. And of all the damn fool, poorly conceived, ill-thought-out plans Steed's ever come up with, well, Izzy has to admit he doesn't really mind the way this one's turned out. Not really. Not at all, in fact. And so now here he stands, watching his husbands, get ready not only for their first raid since they returned to the sea, but for their first raid as married men. Or at least, he corrects himself as he thinks of Steed's ex-wife, their first raid as men married to each other. So on the whole, Izzy's prepared for some issues. He's prepared to protect his family, all of them, from anything that might hurt them. In Steed's case, he's even prepared to protect them from themselves. He draws his shoulders back, rolling them out as they draw close enough to fire a warning shot, then closer still. He tucks a dagger between his teeth, double-checks that his sword is secure in its scabbard, and takes hold of a line, preparing to swing over as soon as the ship's within range. Beside him, Jimenez does the same thing, rolling their neck, touching each of the knives secreted away in pockets and scabbards and God knows where else. They exchange a nod, respectful. At least that's one person he doesn't have to worry about. He looks back to Ed and Steed. Steed's got his hands on a line, ready to swing over with the first wave, and that's fine. Izzy's jaw creaks, and he realizes he's grinding his teeth. He takes a deep breath, forcing himself to relax. It's fine. He's ready for anything. In retrospect, he may need to amend his definition of anything. Izzy's the first across the gap as they catch the merchant vessel, wind in his hair and swoop in his belly as he soars over the dark waters churning below. His hoof hits the deck with a loud, satisfying clack, sword leaping into his hand as he assesses the situation, hoping for a quick surrender and a straightforward raid to ease them back into it. By the time Jimenez hits the deck next to him, a quarter of a second later, he knows that wish won't be coming true. Is that a fucking broadsword? Izzy doesn't have time to answer Jim's question with the resounding yes it deserves. He's too busy ducking under a wide swing from the massive bastard wielding the fuck-off massive blade. Across the deck, shouts ring out as the Revenge's crew arrive in waves, only to find themselves facing off against a crew of fuckers who look for all the world as though they've rolled themselves out of a medieval painting and fuck! Why the hell are they all so fucking big? Well, no time to worry about it now. Izzy dodges again, then darts forward, rapier slipping between the joints under the man's armpit, just as one of Jimenez's knives slips through the grill of his helmet. The man goes down, arterial blood spurting in gouts over Izzy's shirt, his pants, his face and hair. He pulls his sword free and turns back to the fray. Nearby, Roach shrieks with laughter as he nimbly avoids a battle axe, his own cleaver catching his opponent's wrist, sending the axe clattering to the floor along with the hand that held it, clutching spasmodically as its former wielder shrieks, more blood pouring out over the deck. Frenchie's claws catch the man across the back of the neck and he goes down hard and lies still, and some part of Izzy's still wondering what the fuck is going on when he hears a panicked squeak in an all-too-familiar voice. "Steed!" he shouts, turning just in time to watch his husband slip in one of the growing puddles of blood across the deck. It's a fortuitous error, putting him just barely out of the way of the heavy spiked mace that lands between his legs, splintering the wood, and fucking hell, what kind of an idiot uses a weapon like that on a fucking wooden ship? The question occurs to him in an abstract sort of way as he races across the deck, sword catching another bastard with another bloody fucking broadsword across the belly without breaking stride. He hears Ed shouting somewhere, too, both of them converging on the fucker, hauling his mace up for another strike as Steed slips and slides on the blood-slick deck, trying to regain his footing. And even as Izzy shoves some poor bastard with nothing but a normal knife over the ship's rail, he knows neither of them can get there in time. "Steed!" he screams again, Ed's voice an echo in his ringing ears, and the mace hovers at its apex, preparing to swing down again. And it feels like they're swimming through fucking treacle, and Steed, that fucking madman, smiles suddenly, a pistol materializing in his hand seemingly out of nowhere. A puff of smoke, the impossibly loud pop of a shot ringing out over the deck, and the man with the mace staggers back, overbalancing as blood pours from the gaping wound in his throat. Izzy hits the deck next to Steed, ignoring the pain that shoots up his leg and into his hip as he grabs Steed by the shoulders, checking him over for injuries as the fighting dies out all around them. The merchant vessels, out-of-time Renaissance fair wannabes, laying down their weapons as the tide turns in favor of the revenge. As Izzy desperately tries to assess whether any of the blood staining Steed's delicate blue coat is Steed's, and who the fuck wears sky fucking blue on a fucking raid? Steed fucking Bonnet Hands Teach, that's who. Ed, just seconds behind him, running full tilt across the deck to reach them, slips in a puddle of blood. "Oops," is all the warning Izzy gets before Ed careens into him and Steed both, knocking them sideways. Izzy curses, limbs flailing as he tries to extricate himself from his husband's. Ed makes no attempt to help, bracketing the two of them with his arms, grinning as he looks around and sees the deck fully under the crew's control. "All right, Steed. All right, Iz." Steed's smile is entirely too bright for a man with so much blood in his hair. He wraps an arm around Izzy's waist, kissing him on the cheek. His lips come away red-stained, and Izzy knows he's at least as filthy as Steed. "Perfectly fine, darling," Steed trills as Izzy squirms to get free. "I'd be right as rain if you'd both let me get up and do my fucking job," he growls, huffing when both his husbands just roll their eyes fondly. "All work, no play, that's our Iz," Ed says, teasing. He pushes himself up, groaning quietly and rubbing his knee, then reaches down to take Izzy and Steed by their hands, pulling them to their feet. "Just you wait till we get back to our own fucking ship. I'll fucking show you all work, no play," Izzy growls sotto voce, and Ed's smile takes on a hungry edge. "I'll bet you will, mate," Ed says quietly, lips brushing Izzy's ear, sending a shiver down his spine. He feels Steed's hand on the small of his back, and he swallows hard. No time for distractions. He's got a job to do, for fuck's sake. Ed claps his hands, making Frenchie jump, almost dropping the armful of armor and weaponry he's been collecting from the corpses as Ed shouts, "Right, let's get the loot loaded up and get the fuck out of here." The ship, as it turns out, carries a cargo almost entirely made up of medieval relics, bound for some wealthy collector in the New World. Steed gasps, ooing and aahing over each tapestry and knick-knack, assiduously avoiding touching them with his blood-stained hands. Izzy rolls his eyes indulgently, though he knows they won't be able to sell most of it. Not much of a market for this kind of trinket in the Republic, though he supposes they might make a pretty penny ransoming it back to the rich bastard it was meant for in the first place. They can sell the weapons, at least, he supposes, to some of the bigger bastards he knows. A broadsword would look just about right in Stakeknife's hand, he thinks. But the rest's a loss. From the light in Steed's eyes, though, he suspects selling it is the farthest thing from his mind. By the time they've carried everything across the gangplanks and stowed it in the belly of the Revenge, the sun is low on the horizon, glinting golden on the tips of the waves. A warm breeze shimmers over the water, filling their sails as they tack into it, leaving the merchant ship, sails hanging listlessly in their wake. The day's work done, the crew lounge in twos and threes on the deck, passing around bottles of rum, wine from the raided ship, and a rather fine whiskey Steed picked up when they last made port. Wee John drapes a medieval tapestry over his shoulders like a shawl, delicate floral embroidery surrounding a scene of a woman holding a unicorn in her lap. Jim has found a chainmail vest and wears it with aplomb, leaning against a barrel with one arm wrapped around Archie's waist, their other hand linked with Olu's, fingers intertwined, heads tilted together as they listen to Frenchie strum his lute. Izzy knows he should relax. Steed more than happily agreed to supervise the inventory for once. Ed's probably already in the bath, rinsing blood and dirt and God knows what else out of his hair after the raid. Izzy's leg aches, stump throbbing counter time to his heartbeat with every step he takes. He should clean himself up, maybe take a quick nap on the floor of the old first mate's cabin. Pleased as Steed may be with the outcome of the raid, he certainly won't want Izzy on his clean sheets until he's taken a proper bath. With that in mind, he heads towards the stateroom, meaning to borrow Steed's large silver basin and maybe a towel or two. It's oddly quiet as he steps into the room. He'd expected Ed to be singing at the top of his lungs by now, splashing as he scrubs himself down. Something in the air makes Izzy shiver, goose flesh rising on his arms and the back of his neck. The feeling isn't unpleasant. He stands still for a moment, looking over towards Steed's elegantly appointed toilette. Behind him, fabric rustles softly. "Izzy, darling, there you are." Izzy turns. Steed holds out a hand invitingly. He and Ed lie on the bed, both of them still stained with drying blood, both of them already naked. Steed lies on his back, watching Izzy with the lazy, predatory eyes of a well-fed lion. Ed, stretched out on his stomach, head resting on Steed's chest, legs tangled with Steed's. "Yeah, mate," Ed says, grinning wickedly. Izzy just stares for a moment, mouth dry. "What took you so long?" Izzy stammers. No matter how many times he sees Ed like this, it seems unreal. He stands frozen as Ed pushes himself up and slides off the bed. Ed doesn't move with quite the languorous grace he did when they were young. His skin, weathered and tattooed and covered in scars Izzy knows better than his own, nothing like the glowing, untouched canvas Izzy distantly recalls. His black hair streaked through with silver, and the vivid red of blood earned on a raid. Izzy's never seen anyone more beautiful. Steed stalks along behind Ed. His movements aren't as easy as Ed's. For all it was his damned idea, it's taken him longer to accept that he can have this with Izzy, this open, fearless desire. His hair is flatter than usual, weighed down by blood. The light from the window creates a halo around him, showing the muscles in his arms, strong and thick, softened by a layer of flesh Izzy hopes he never loses. Izzy gasps softly as Ed grasps hold of his cravat, then moans as he's pulled into a kiss. Ed's other hand traces the side of his neck, fingers sliding up to catch the back of his head as they kiss. He tastes of lavender and cannabis and sage and bright copper blood. Izzy sags against him, one arm wrapping around his waist, the other sliding further down to squeeze Ed's slender, well-muscled ass. "Honestly, Israel," Steed says, sounding more breathless than annoyed. "You haven't even started undressing. You'll get blood everywhere." "Me," Izzy says indignantly, pulling away from Ed's kiss despite the whine it pulls from him. "You're the ones who..." He breaks off with a groan as Steed bends to kiss his neck, clever fingers swiftly undoing the buttons on his vest. "Come on, Iz," Ed says as he grasps Izzy's chin in his hand and turns him for another kiss. "Don't talk back to your captains." Izzy's muffled cursing turns to a sigh, then a high whine as Ed's hands join Steed's, making quick work of his shirt buttons as Steed pushes his vest over his shoulders to land in a heap at their feet. Steed yanks at his trouser laces as Ed bowls his shirt up and flings it into some unknown corner, and Izzy will have to make sure he tells him off for it later, but right now he's a bit busy, struggling to get his boot off as Steed tugs off his trousers and smalls all at once. He stumbles a bit, off balance as he finally gets out of his damn boot, hoof wobbling precariously on the wooden floor, and before he can think twice, he's in Steed's arms. "Bonnet, I don't need you to fucking..." "That's Bonnet Hands Teach to you," Steed says primly as he carries Izzy towards the bed. "Thought we went with Teach Hands Bonnet," Ed mutters as he follows, watching Izzy hungrily. "That doesn't make sense, Ed. It's in alphabetical order," Steed responds with the easy rhythm of an old argument, even as he drops Izzy onto the bed abruptly. Izzy squeaks, undignified. "Well, why couldn't it be in reverse alphabetical order?" Ed demands, crawling onto the bed at Izzy's feet. "Edward, for God's sake," Steed starts. "If both of you don't shut the fuck up and get back to work, I'll have it literally changed to Hands Bonnet Teach at the next bloody port," Izzy snarls, barely fighting off the urge to laugh. Steed and Ed both gasp in mock horror. "You wouldn't," Steed says, mock censorious, even as he pushes Izzy back to lie against plush pillows, silky celadon cases patterned with delicate embroidered roses, already stained with crimson splotches. "I bloody would. I'm the only one who does any fucking paperwork around here anyway." Steed kisses Izzy slowly, one hand slipping down to toy with Izzy's chest, tugging at one of the silver barbells that pierce his nipples, the other sliding down to grip his hip, fingers kneading at the knotted muscles there. Izzy whimpers quietly, then groans out loud as Ed, busily working at the straps of his wooden leg, finally slips it free. His fingers work at Izzy's thigh, digging into knots, relaxing tired muscles. Izzy moans as pleasure and pain blend together, Steed's hands dragging over his ribs now, slipping under his body to grip his ass. "Oh, fuck." Izzy sighs as Steed kisses his jaw, his neck, the little spot behind his ear that makes his body go lax. Ed moves up his thigh slowly, kissing and nipping lightly, hands still working soreness out of his muscles. Ed and Steed exchange a quick glance, and before Izzy can ask what the fuck they think they're playing at, they move again, Steed lifting him up from the pillows and slipping in behind him, Ed bracketing him on the other side, both of them pressed in close, Steed's cock hot and heavy against his ass, Ed's already drooling as he rocks it against Izzy's stomach. "Darling," Steed says, breathy and urgent, "would you mind terribly if we both..." "Oh, Christ, Steed, would you both shut the fuck up and stick your dicks in me already," as he snaps, though it's hard to sound properly annoyed with his hips rocking desperately, pinned between his husband's. He throws his head back against Steed's shoulder, hand wrapped in Ed's hair, pulling him in against Izzy's chest. Ed's tongue swirls around his nipple, twisting the barbell, sending shocks of pleasure straight to Izzy's cunt. He feels the head of Ed's cock slide through the thick, plump folds, already slick and ready for him. He wraps an arm around Ed's back, groaning long and low as Ed slides home. Ed moans, too, as Izzy's cunt clenches and pulsates around him, already impossibly close. Izzy hears the sound of a bottle uncorking, and then Steed's fingers press into him, twisting and stretching, and he and Ed both shout. "Oh, fuck, Steed," Ed gasps, just as Izzy whines, pressing back against Steed. "Steed, that's enough," Izzy says, hips working helplessly. "For fuck's sake, just stick it in." Steed, to his credit, doesn't need to be told twice. A moment later, the thick, blunt head of his cock, slick with oil, presses against Izzy's hole. Izzy moans, eyes rolling back in his head as it pops past the ring of muscle, and Christ, no matter how many times they do this, he can never quite believe how fucking big Steed is. "Oh, fuck," Ed gasps again as Izzy's cunt tightens around him, as Steed rocks forward slowly, cock pressing in and in and in as Izzy moans continually, limp in their arms, overwhelmed by the feeling of his husband's filling him. Finally, Steed thrusts forward one last time, hips coming flush with Izzy's ass. "All right, darling. All right, my love," Steed asks them both solicitously. "Yeah," Ed says, breathing hard. "Yeah, I'm good." Izzy just moans. Before Steed can ask for clarification, he wriggles, rocking his hips back, trying to find enough leverage to thrust properly. Steed laughs quietly, hands coming to rest on Izzy's hips, holding him still. Izzy whines in protest, tilting his head back to glare up at Steed. Steed's still laughing as he catches Izzy in a kiss, and finally begins to roll his hips. Izzy gasps and writhes between them as Ed and Steed fuck him in perfect rhythm, rocking him back onto Steed and forward onto Ed. His eyes roll back again, pleasure filling him up, tension building in his belly, his spine, all the way up to his throat until there's nothing, nothing but the feel of their arms around him, their lips on his skin, their cocks inside of him setting off first little sparks, and then building waves, and then Izzy screams, back arching, one hand gripping Ed's bicep, the other grabbing Steed's ass, pulling him in deeper as he wails and twitches through his orgasm. "Ah, God, Izzy! Steed!" Ed shouts as he comes with Izzy's cunt pulsating around him. Steed's hips keep rolling, rhythm erratic, and then he's coming too, one hand gripping the firm flesh of Izzy's chest, the other tangled in Ed's. They stay like that for a moment, linked together in a jumble of intertwining limbs, cooling sweat and drying blood, and then Izzy groans. "Weren't you supposed to be doing inventory?" he asks, glaring at Steed over his shoulder before he turns his glare on Ed. "And you? Weren't you taking a bloody bath?" Steed shrugs as Ed tosses his hair, insouciant. "Well, you see, darling," Steed says, "I came in to get a book that I thought might help me identify some of our new objets d'art." "And I was in here getting stripped down for my bath," Ed adds. "And, well, one thing led to another," Steed finishes with a self-satisfied smirk. "Hey, speaking of baths, that one's probably still warm," Ed says, waggling his eyebrows at them meaningfully. "It better be," Izzy grumbles, holding his arms out and letting Steed lift him up again. He tells himself it's not that he enjoys getting carried. Not at all. It's just more practical than putting his bloody leg on again when he'll only have to take it off for the bath. He snuggles into Steed's chest, starting to feel sleepy already as they make their way towards the fragrant, steam-filled bathroom. "Hey, Iz," Ed says as Steed lowers Izzy into the water and climbs in after him. "How come you were going to change our name to Hands Bonnet Teach instead of Hands Teach Bonnet?" "Oh, for fuck's sake, Edward, will you give it a bloody rest?" Izzy groans. "Somehow, it still sounds like I love you."
That was Ready for Anything by Unopposable Thumbs. A link to the fic is available in the show notes, and I definitely encourage you to give the fic a comment and a kudos. Again, if you want to narrate anything for us, get the author's permission first and send an audio file to ourflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. For memes and other Our Flag related hilarity, follow us on Instagram at ourflagmeansfanfiction, all one word. Until next time, bye!